lentils. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah! He brought us back to the living fountain. A prophet has taken the rod international message. Let them halfway cleansing bring you right back to adoption, to perfection, to the resurrection, friend. Bring you right back to your full inheritance. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. This is what it is, friend. This is that day. This is that day we have seen the high priest coming up to the sanctuary. Glory. We have seen the priest take the trumpet and begin to blast that ram horn. Begin to proclaim liberty. We begin to see slaves, but are coming out in freedom. Talking about going back to their possessions. Talking about going back to their family. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say that I'm one of them tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name tonight. Oh, blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Hallelujah, fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins tonight. Flowing from this world, rivers of grace flowing out to wash away guilt, to wash away fear, to wash away bondage, to wash away oppression, to wash away all stains, all iniquities, amen. To wash it away completely. You know how good it feels to get a good bath sometimes? You feel all sticky today. You get under the shower and you begin to sing. Most people sing in the bathroom, is that right? Amen. Sometimes that's a place that gets bad to sing, you know why? You're under the shower. You've been made clean. Hallelujah. Well, if you can sing the air, that can only wash your body. What about a shower that can wash your soul? Hallelujah. Wash the inner man, friend. Glory be to God tonight. What about this fountain? Oh, blessed be the fountain of blood. Fountain of blood.
Thank you.
as the bleeding word of this house. Oh, blessed be the fountain. no condemnation, no guilt, no fear, no worry, no tension, no nervous strain. The church that knows the power in the blood tonight. Believers who have been cleansed, who have been refounded. You see your experience tonight. You made your garments white in that blood. You come out too much tribulation and pressures. When you do service tonight. Oh, there is power to serve him, friend. Call for service. Would you live daily? His praise is to sing. Hallelujah. Believe it. Holy Ghost power tonight. Power to deliver from every situation. Drive all the devil, bring every chain tonight. Afterwards, he said, Lord, I went to disciples and we couldn't cast it up, but I come to you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He was determined. He watched the child, he knew his symptoms of the child. Parental responsibility is a big calling for him. And how as parents we ought to walk worthy of the word many times. Amen. When situations come, we can start with confidence. We can know that God is faithful, God will meet every challenge. Thank God tonight through confession and faith, we are subject to the powers of heaven. If there's no sin, if there's nothing to make right, that devil will have to move. If there's unconfessed sin, they can pour gallons of oil and cry and scream and bawl and roll, that devil will stay right there. Amen. That's how the mission one came to Jesus. And call our dog, he said, not right, you turn back to the dog, say, yeah, Lord, but the dog becomes. But she was determined to make sure that she got what she came for. That's the attitude. When you have the right attitude of approach, you come to God, give respect and reverence, give the right time, the right approach, confessing that he's able to do these things. No power from hell can hold that child again. The Shumai woman, she said, it is well. She had faith, said, all is well, all is well. That's the kind of attitude it takes sometimes. Get our soul here. If your heart condemns, you cannot have confidence before God. But if your heart condemns, even God is greater than your heart. He can show you a propitiation. He can show you an advocate. He can show you a confession. You can be cleansed. And do you see, you have an advocate. And he can show you how to remove the guilt and the condemnation away from you. So you can be able to approach with confidence. That's why you don't like to come with unbelief. You don't like to come with condemnation. You don't like to come trying to grab at something. You don't like to come hoping the minister can do it for you and you don't have faith in what. I'm seeing all these things to help our faith, to help your attitude here. That's why I'm seeing all these things here. To let you know God is truly His word. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you're going to ask what you will. When you stand praying, believe that you have received what you asked for, and you shall have it. That's what the gift of discernment did. It helped lift the faith into the place where the word has already spoken and the sacrifice has already been made and accepted can go into operation. It can be applied to the condition. And now we have something far greater, of the same quality but a little higher level, the word, the open word. The word to show to us how to come, how to approach God, where to place our faith, what was done, where He was accepted. To bring peace and confidence in our heart, we can come expecting. And we come expecting, we shall go receiving. Let us sing, all is well, all is well.
We have heard the message. honest to express it freely unto us. As long as we would meet you in that finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come tonight not upon our own merit, and not trying to come outside of what you have done, Father, but coming in humility and submission to meet you upon the grounds of your precious word, and standing there, God, with confidence in that finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he was bruised for iniquities, he was wounded for transgressions, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed, because upon him was laid the iniquity of us all, he bore transgressions. He was that scapegoat who took our sins far away, far east from the west. You removed our transgression, dear God. And so, dear God, as we come tonight, on behalf of this little boy, seeing him under the affliction of the enemy, oh God, and knowing, dear God, the enemy could not touch him, except you permitted to do that. But dear God, to know that sometimes our sin, our wrong, Lord God, can grieve away your spirit and our protection, our defenses is removed from us, and we stand naked and exposed to the wrath of the enemy. That we might come to recognize the gravity of our sin and our wrong. That we might be able to come into confession, make our wrongs right, and your blood be applied to it. Then your presence can draw close to us again. And then your great spirit, like a wall of fire round about us, Lord, to keep all evil and all harm away from us. For it's written in your word, he that keepeth Israel never slumbers nor sleep. As the mountains are around Jerusalem, so the Lord is around his people. Remember that time you told Abraham, I'm your shield, I'm your exceedingly great reward. You calmed his fears when he felt insecure, Lord, when he saw the enemy all round about him. We think of David who said, do a horse and camp round about me. In this I'll be confident, because he knew that that great presence was around him, and he knew that there was no sin in his life. He was standing under the blood of that sacrifice that you had given. So we tonight, Lord, coming, standing under the blood of our sacrifice. And what a greater sacrifice we have than what David had back into the Old Testament, Lord. Knowing that his sacrifice could only cover the sin, but the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ taken away every sin. Cause us to stand without condemnation. And so, dear God, this is the position that we take, coming, holding this little boy in our arms, seeing, oh God, his ear falling off, seeing him sick in his body, oh God, and knowing that devil is holding him in this condition, and these symptoms coming forth, showing, dear God, the presence of that evil power that is working upon the body of this child. But Father, we come tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, interceding on his behalf, standing in the gap for him, oh God, standing, oh God, and pleading his case. Lord God, asking that you be merciful, asking that God, Father, Lord God, that the affliction that has come upon this boy, that has come upon the home of this family, oh God, that you turn this wrath away, that, Lord God, you drive this evil away, oh God. Father, I pray that you forgive them for their sin. I pray for them for the wrong, dear God. I pray that you bring mercy and grace. Lord, come and bring pardon unto them, Father. And yet, God, your gracious power, your divine presence, Lord God, lift up this affliction and bondage upon the life of this child. And may he be loosened this captivity, oh God. And may he be made free in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we've anointed him with oil. And now I pray, Father, every power of the enemy be completely broken. And that you set him free for the glory of God tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. That the child not suffer any longer. and the child be made well. And Lord, his hair be restored in his head, yet God. And his body, Lord, be strengthened, O God, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you raise him and make him well, Father. And may be a sign to the family, O God, that, Lord, they will never wander away from you anymore. And that they will live close to you. And everything, O God, is necessary, Father, that you require them, Lord. They will walk in obedience to your word and every order and every commandment. Grant it, Lord. May our sister take a child and go home with confidence in her heart, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask your blessing upon this child, upon this family, for the glory of God. And Father, whatever it is left to be done and put right, may they not, Lord, delay doing it, but may they hasten quickly. As you have given this grace to them tonight, and you've allowed them this opportunity, Lord, to be in your economy and to be under your presence and under all your blessing this hour. Grant we ask in Jesus' name.
Our time is quickly going, so let's just open the Bible. The book of Jonah. We'll get Sunday in a couple of places. We'll be able to read all of it tonight. Jonah 1, and then we'll be a couple of places in Jonah 2. Is a formality that you have been prayerfully reading the scriptures and trying to get your heart and mind into the channel to see what the Holy Spirit is trying to focus our attention to and what He's promising in His Word, and He's putting us under expectation for these things, because these are the things that He must and will bring to pass at this time, because we believe we are in the time of these things. For chapter 1, we know this. Read verse 4 today. That which the palmer worm had left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust had left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm had left hath the caterpillar eaten. And then chapter 2, we go to this. And this was the second emphasis. After blowing the trumpet, because in chapter 2, verse 1, God said, blow the trumpet and sound an alarm. And then here it says, blow the trumpet and sanctify a fast. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that nerves at the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her room, showing the emergency, the urgency that God is requiring this. There was to be no deliberation, even the bridegroom, though his ear was not the bride, that God is requiring to come out of the chamber, even the little children who nursed the breast, was also asked to be part of the gathering. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And God specified a place where He wanted them, between the porch and the altar. And He took that Sunday and explained what it was. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they see among the people ways be a God? Then the Lord was jealous for His land and pitied His people. And the Lord answered and said unto His people, behold, I will send you grain and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate. And this is what that plague of locusts had symbolized. So God now speaking that which the Lucasite symbolized, and not just the Lucasite symbol.
Which is with his face toward the eastern sea and his rear toward the western sea, and his tent shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things.
Siena, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, because God give you assurance to his people. Siena, be not afraid. For the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Verse 1, I told us how it was eaten up. Yeah, we said, when you stole. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And this is kind of unusual, having two rains in the same month. But it was symbolizing the promise of the Holy Spirit. See, you have a former rain, first, then just before you crop, you get your latter rain. But here God is speaking something, showing that you have both rains in the same season, in the same month. For April was the beginning of months, and April is Easter time. Easter time is resurrection time. And here, not only the teaching, but the manifestation as well. The mechanics and the dynamics will be together. And the floors shall be full of wheat. And that is what was eaten down in chapter 1. And the vat shall be full with wine and oil. And notice wheat is the corn. Wheat is the word. Your children is the corn of wheat. Extra corn is for the ground. Wine is stimulation of revelation. Oil and wine are always going to take an evolution. And oil always symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Even the little baby oil here symbolizes the Holy Spirit. So watch it. All these things are going to come back there. To the point of the rain, there will be an overflowing of the wheat, of the wine, the oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God who hath done wonders with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God. None else, my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward, I have poured my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. Think of it. The sons and the daughters, even the servants. After the sons and the daughters, and even the servants, the handmaid. Like, in the old days, you had your house, you had your children, the house, those your heirs. Then you had your bond servants, the different ones in your economy. And so when it's at a point when it's going to be your children, it's even coming upon the servants, the handmaids. In those days, when I poured my spirit, the Lord was going to do it. Just for a couple of minutes, because I want you to get out quick. You know, it's kind of crazy of time here, so. Instead of go and preach, I just want to emphasize. It will help you look at this, because Sunday I was speaking, ask the Lord rain in the time of the last rain. James tells us asking amiss. Because you're going to ask amiss. And you can ask for things out of season. You know, the problem is if my little boy comes and asks for my razor, I won't give my razor. He'll harm himself. You know, he can't put that razor to proper use. And he's got a toy, a thing to play with. But when maybe he comes of age and he needs to use a razor, and he's grown up and mature and has more responsibility, I can put that in his hand. And so God don't give us gifts just to play with. When God wants to work with things, it is always for a purpose. God told Moses, I'll give you two signs to confirm your commission that I sent you. To get the people to believe you, that, so they will know I am fulfilling my promise. This is the time of the promise, and you are the messenger that I promised them. I'll put them on my behind.
Moses is all the reason. When God has sent a prophet in this day, exactly two signs of the prophet Moses. Those signs are confirming the commission that he was sent. And the same way Jonathan Chambers rose up and impersonated Moses, we found that people were rising up to impersonate what God was doing. God didn't send it to be impersonated. And the impersonators had no commission for God to confirm. So God didn't really give it to them. It was like an unrighteous partaking. And that is scriptural, because God said, I'll pour my rain upon the just and the unjust. I make my sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And he tells the parable how when he planted that wheat, the evil person came and planted tears among the wheat. And he said, let them grow. But at harvest time, I'll separate the wheat and put it in my barn, but I'll gather the tears and I'll burn it with a quenchable fire. So in other words, he was saying, I will let it stay in the field. I will let it drink in the rain. I will let it benefit from the sunshine, though I didn't plant it. But even though it partake of my good rain and my good sun, I'll burn it anyhow. And so he says, many will come in to me in the last and say, Lord, didn't I preach the gospel? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I do the great child wonders? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. Showing that though they did all these things and they partook of the rain, he was going to cast them into hell, in the everlasting fire, they are prepared for the devil and his angels. He's going to burn them with unquenchable fire, though they are partaking and benefited of the rain. But though they had rain poured on them, the fruit that they brought forth show what type of seed they were. So it's not so much having rain. And that's why a person wants to know what type of fruit they're bearing, though rain is falling in them. Because by a tree you will know the fruit. Every seed will bring forth of its kind. The same rain that bring up the corn and the wheat bring up the thorns and the thistles. And Paul in Hebrews 6 say, thorns and briars and these things are now to rejection. It's to burn at the end. Though it partook of the heavenly gift, though it tasted of the word of God and the powers of heaven. Yet, when they fall away, they cannot renew themselves to repentance. So how can people partake of the rain? How can people be blessed? How can people manifest all things and then fall away and can't renew themselves to repentance? Because there's nothing inside there to repent of many times. Like Cain couldn't repent. Cain was told what was wrong and what was right. And God told him, do like it, but then I'll receive it sooner after they don't. It was pointed out to him, he was wrong. He was corrected and he was shown what was right. And he was given the opportunity to amend his ways. But he couldn't do it. And so you see that principle in the Bible, that there's an unrighteous partaking of spiritual blessings. Just like among the Pentecostals, Holy Spirit is poured out. Born, he was manifesting gifts and speaking in tongues and everything else, running up and down the floor, dancing in the Spirit. But yet, when the word corrects them and says, it's a shame for a woman to cut her hair, it's a dishonor to her head, it's an abomination for a woman to wear a garment pertaining to a man. I saw a woman preach or to talk to the man. They could not take the word, because that soul was wrong. And they couldn't bring forth fruit to prove that they were willing children. Yet the Spirit was poured out. That's why Jesus in the last days, many will do signs and wonders of these things and deceive many. Because there will rise many, what? False Christs. Not false Jesuses, false Christ. Christ means the anointed one.
anointed people, but false. And that's why you don't want just an experience in the Holy Spirit. You want to see what kind of fruit you're bearing when that Spirit comes upon your life. What kind of life follows after you get your showers? Because remember, if a person is crying for the Holy Spirit and not the new birth, and I know I'm getting a little doctrinal here when I say that, we're going to confuse some people who don't talk by the word. See? But if that Holy Spirit just poured upon you, upon your flesh, upon your spirit, and that soul is not changed, then you will remain unconverted. But remember, Satan cannot cast out Satan. Amen. And Jesus said, these will come and say, Lord, did we cast out devils in your name? They cast out devils. Remember, Judas cast out devils too. Amen. When they came rejoicing and the devil was subject to them, Jesus said, don't rejoice, not rejoice, the name is in heaven. Amen. And Judas was one of the 70 who was given power in the battle. He was born this son of perdition. He was born a devil. Jesus said, have I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Amen. Is that right? Amen. The Bible. Amen. So then you realize that you want to see that you want to become a partaker of the divine nature. Not just be blessed. Not just have the emotion, the feeling. Amen. And that is where in this hour is going to be very treacherous. Will be very treacherous. Though you may have power to preach and power to cast out devils and power to pray and power to do different things, yet you have power to stay with the word. Amen. When you listen to preachers, you can hear some powerful preaching. And then you watch whether they're on the word or not. Remember Zedekiah? He stood with 400 prophets behind him. Thus said the Lord, go on up! The Lord will deliver Ramoth Gilead in your hand. He didn't say thus yet, me said the guy, he said thus yet the Lord. Micaiah said, if you come back, go on and talk to me. Remember Hananiah? After Jeremiah said, 70 years we're going to Babylon captivity. Hananiah in big convention, he woke up afterwards, he take the yoke of a Jeremiah, he break the yoke. He said, 2 years you come back, thus said the Lord. Even Jeremiah say amen.
That's right. That's right.
Read the Bible.
Amen.
But Jeremiah didn't believe. In other words, so be it. If God said, what's this for your hand? God told Jeremiah, make one an iron and go fast. And that was that same year, God took Hananiah off the field.
That's right.
Why? He was trying to come behind and contradict what was already indicated.
Amen.
That is death. That is eternal separation. When God gives something authenticated, nobody dares come behind to contradict that afterwards. That's when people fall away. Like when David and Korah rise to contradict Moses, they finish. When Hananiah rise, when Zedekiah rise to contradict Elijah, when Balaam rise to contradict Moses, they will finish. Because when that original word goes forth, vindicated by God, that's it. That's why Adam had a sacrifice made for him and the serpent was cursed. Because God had already given the original word and the serpent come to change it afterwards. You watch and see when people leave that word, how they die. If you find one person to live after the word, you're going to show me. You'll find God already saved. Because you know why? Man shall not live by bread, but live by the word. And God only have one way to bring his word. God will not have it's a Bible school. If you feel the Paul by revelation, if you feel the John by revelation, if you feel the Peter by revelation, the church is built by revelation. The word comes by revelation, the Holy Spirit in every age, the kid has an ear to hear. The word comes to them. Samuel, a little child, God revealed himself to him by the word of the Lord in Shiloh. Always come by the word. God makes himself known to his people. And here Joel is thinking Sunday how Joel
the book of Joel is something that is worthy of studying, is worthy of grasping it, because it is prophetic, it is speaking of this day, is compound, because Joel was speaking of Israel, and it was compound of the church at the same time. Because the same way God deals with the elected Jews, is the same way he's dealing with the elected bride right now. As a type. And that's why when you look at it, it is so real, and it is the very promise that we are looking for. Just to read something out of the church today, it says, Patriots and the 93, he says, but what about the true seed? It will just happen as we have said. The people of God are being made ready by the word of truth from the messenger to the sage. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost, for the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. That is thus saith the Lord. In a prophecy by the last day messenger out of the Bible. He only said thus to the Lord to back it up because he already written the word. Amen. Once written the word, it's thus said the Lord. Amen. See? It is thus said the Lord, for that's what Joel 2, 22 and 26 says. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for God he hath given the former rain, moderate rain, he will cause to come down through the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month, all the floor shall be full of wheat, vats shall overflow wide, and I will restore you the years, the locusts have eaten, the canker, the caterpillar, the palm over my great arms, I sit among you, and shall be plenty and be satisfied, and praise unto the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now it says God is going to restore. The Lutheran age did not restore the church. It started a reformation. It's a different word. Reformation and restoration is two different things. Restoration bring the thing back to its former estate. Bring it back into original condition. See? The Wesleyan age did not restore. The Pentecostal age did not restore. Though they thought they did, but they did not. Because Peter and them didn't believe in body and woman. Peter and them didn't baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in titles. They had a revelation of what the name of those titles meant. Peter and Paul and them didn't preach that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. God, Paul said, do all men speak in tongues of men and angels, it profit them nothing if they have a charity. Is that right? Sure. And Paul said, an angel come from heaven and preach anything different to that preacher would be a curse. So they couldn't be the restoration because they don't have the foundation revelation that the early church was built upon. So not even the Pentecostal church didn't restore. So if the restoration didn't come in those three ages, they have to be a people with the fullness of the Spirit of God in them. He said, that is thus saith the Lord, and the church would stand where it was, where sin couldn't even stand among them. Like in the days of Ananias and Sapphira, the church would stand there again. They had perfect love among them. They had angelic visitation. Angel came to Peter. Angel came to Paul. Angel came to Philip. Philip was translated. Is that right? In the Bible. The dead was raised. On numerous occasions. With Paul, with Peter. Different place in the Bible. Stephen and Deacon didn't get signs, wonders, and miracles full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. So those three ages didn't put it up. And then we're at the end, where it's going back to the Jewish age. And somewhere between here, you have to come from. Then ask of the Lord rain in the time. Could you see the time? You have the confidence knowing the time. You expected what you're asking for because you're in the season of the word. Listen. But God has to restore, for he cannot deny his word. This is not the resurrection. works on the church. It is the restoration. God will take the church right back to Pentecost in the beginning. Now notice in verse 25, it tells why we need restoration. The locust, the canker, the caterpillar, the pound worm have eaten all but the root and a small bit of the stem. Now we are told that all these insects are all one and the same in different stages. That is right. They are antichrist spirit, manifesting an organization, denomination, false doctrine. You see what it is? The antichrist spirit, manifesting an organization, denomination, false doctrine, through the ages. And that poor little root and stalk is going to be restored. God is going to plant a new church, but is going to bring his original planting back to original seed. He is doing it as stated in verse 23 by the teaching of former rain. Next will come the harvest rain or rapturing fate. How is it coming back? By the teaching rain, the former rain, with the planting of the seed. And after that seed is planted, then the rain is going to fall and plant the word. And plant the word will live in the people, and everything will be right back the air as it was. This age started just after the turn of the 20th century, as it was with the age of which the true church would return to being the bride. She was at Pentecost. We know that there must be of necessity a return of dynamic power. The believers sensed this in their spirits and began to cry for a new appointment, such was as was in the first century. 1906, they were sensing what we are looking for now. You know why? Because they were seeing it in the Bible. But it didn't come. Then if they, who didn't have the seals open, who didn't have the messenger of the former rain, who didn't have the understanding of the three stages of the wheat before it came out the grain, the last stage, and they could cry out and pray for restoration and pray for harvest rain, then what about us? We have seen the prophet Messiah. We have planted the word. We have seen the seals open. Who know the time is running from that institute all this time? Who see the truth back in the whole other generation now waiting? Amen. We should not have a service unless people come expecting, crying, or praying, asking the Lord for it. Because they come in the street, street, head and shoebox, everything else, crying, praying, confessing everything, waiting. And they didn't even know the church ages, didn't know positionally where there was nothing at all. So they was asking in faith. See? The believer sensed this in the spirit, began to cry to God for a new point, such as was in the first century. What seemed to be the answer came as many began to speak in tongues and manifest gifts of the Spirit. It was then believed that this was indeed the long-awaited restoration. It was not. For the latter rain can only come after the former rain, which is the spring or teaching rain. In other words, your former rain will bring your restoration. It might bring the restoration of the truth. It might bring the restoration of the original doctrine. It might bring the restoration of the original seed. But the restoration of the church, the word living in the people as it was back there, is going to take the harvest rain to bring that. The former rain is the springing or teaching rain. The latter rain is the harvest rain. How could this be the real thing? Talk about what came in the little street. When the teaching rain had not come, how could it be? That's why they end up with more than denominational doctrine. Because they didn't have a mind to prove that Matthew 28, 19 and Acts 2, 38 don't contradict itself. Amen. They didn't have so much revelation to prove it. They come with three persons in one God, which is a Roman Catholic teaching. Amen. When the Bible is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." Amen. See? And all those denominational teachings
still existed there because they hadn't Bible teaching. When they put down themselves as a Bible church, not really a Bible church. It's one of formal man-made organizations, which is professing Christianity. But original Bible doctrine that Paul preached, that Peter preached, that Philip preached, that when you read the book of Acts and you saw what they taught, is how they acted under the power of the Holy Spirit. Is how they did things. Even hundreds of years before the church got organized in Nicaea, Rome, when you had Irenaeus and those men standing there, Martin and them. Holding true what Paul preached. When you look at that doctrine, you'll see this is it's supposed to be here. We were supposed to come back before there could be a rapture. You had to come back that we can walk where the apostles walk. We can see the same Jesus they saw. We can understand who Jesus was and why he came the way they understood it. Amen. They knew Jesus wasn't the second person of the Trinity. No. Philip was getting confused at one time with the terminology. Jesus was using that terminology, a father, son terminology. And Philip told him two people. Amen. And Philip said, Lord, you're great. We love you, but I realize now that the Father is greater than you. So when we get to be introduced to this Father, show us the Father, that would suffice us. We'll never have another desire for nothing more. That will bring the full satisfaction. Show us the Father. And if Philip, so long have I been with you, and you don't only see me as the Father, and I am the Father in me. When the Father up in the sky somewhere, you know, and he sent the Son down, the terminology. About the Father, the Son, the Spirit, see? These three are one. It's the water, the blood, and the Spirit. These three agree in one. But the other, these three are one. And that's why the baptized were baptized in that name. And all these things is just an evidence that those things back there, what the system has is wrong. That's why they died, just like the Lutheran died, just like the Methodist died, the Pentecost had to die too. Amen. Because it was not the grain, but then the grain comes forth in the end. When the grain comes forth in the end, you get the church coming back. With each passing day, believers coming back into the original faith. Remember, they didn't have no make-believe faith. They had genuine faith. Peter knew God was in him. He said, such as I have, give I unto you. He said, why did you let the devil put in your heart to make you lie against the Holy Ghost? Those men were serious men. Paul said, what? You have that man in the church? He said, deliver that man to the devil right away. He said, I've judged you already, not been here. Absolutely not a person in the Spirit. That his soul might be saved. He said, don't you read that man? Amen. Sure. They were serious men. Amen. Yet Paul talked about grace, the pardoning grace. Amen. The grace of God. Amen. But they are holiness too. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Sure. Because they knew that these people are making grace disgrace. Because you grace brings the Spirit of God into your life to bring the covenant of grace into effect, to give you power to live. But a new life, you say, the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. But those of men who were crucified with Christ, they just literally teach and kind of mingle among the church. Yeah. But living the old rotten life still. Amen. See? A vulture among the eagles. But then when you look and see, brother, you were crucified with Christ, Paul, but possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor, being perfected in the fear of holiness. Knowing that you're the temple of God, him who defiled the temple of God, him will God destroy. He began to show when a man really comes into grace. He's not saying, grace don't mean you're a sin and you're kind of glad so you don't get judged. That's carnality, that's not grace.
Grace wants to show that when God gives something, He don't need man help. He gives it full and complete by Himself. And His mind will be dependent upon God. And God so loved that God gave and gave full to cover every need man has. He said, that's that what they taught to be the restoration and the final quickening unto the rapture. So what is this going to do, friends? This is going to bring that final quickening unto the rapture.
Amen.
We are looking for that. And I'm just taking a little time to see that thing, because I want you, when you get your child and pray, you know what you're praying for, you know the season, you know His promise. In other words, you know what you as a believer are supposed to be looking for according to God's program for this hour. You're not looking for a house, you're not looking for a car, you're not looking for this. All that matters, God promised to add them things.
Yeah.
As He will supply, but you are supposed to be in the kingdom of God inside of you. When you seek first the kingdom of God inside you, all of things shall be added. And the kingdom of God is in the world will be in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And when you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory, you know the kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming from negative to positive. When you see the headstone come, you know all my kingdom is going to be destroyed and blasted away. And He's going to establish His kingdom in the same earth. And will have dominion throughout the earth. And there's an image in this earth He's destroying right now. And establish His own kingdom in this earth. Right now. And that's what He's supposed to be seeking. So you know what we're talking about. When you say some of the church, you know what Brother Vince is preaching. You know what we're looking for. You know what we're supposed to be praying for. You know what we're supposed to come up with singing about. You know what we're expecting when we get on our knees. You know what is the climax that when that comes. And you receive that, and you possess that. You know that you are receiving what God promised and identifies you as a true believer in this age.
Amen.
Jesus told him, go and tarry in the upper room in Jerusalem. You shall be endued with power from on high. Is that right?
Amen.
Because it cannot not many days from now. Because He knew the feast of the first fruits had taken place 40 days ago. And only 10 more days before the Feast of Pentecost come. And He ascended on the 40th day. And the Feast of Pentecost is to bring them two loaves with leaven that represented the people. And the priest would burn it with fire. And while he was doing that natural thing, he would kill the natural lamb on the Feast of Passover. Same way Jesus died as the Lamb of God in the Passover. Now the bread is going to be burned the same way. And while they were killing the natural lamb, burning the natural bread, the real lamb was killed and the real bread was being burned. Spiritually it was happening, but the people didn't see the change. They didn't recognize who Elijah was. And because they missed Elijah, they just continue on their organization. And the same thing happened this day. Elijah was the one to turn them from the system to recognize the word. That's why John didn't preach about an next organization. John was pointing them to Messiah. Messiah, Messiah, behold, the Lamb. See? He said, God gave them stones to be Abraham's seed. And this Elijah, he didn't come starting a new denomination. He was calling us an organization to recognize the word, the Messiah, the anointed word for the age. Because that word is going to bring the restoration of life. That is what we are contending and looking for. And as I was saying, in rainy season, it's not one shower. You watch the Bible, it says showers. You see, rain can fall. When you have rainy season start, sometimes you get rain in Arima. Then you get no rain in Marbella. You hear we must have a flood. Then rain in Shabuanas and you leave Santa Ana dry. And then sometimes the rainfall in little local places get outpourings. Then sometimes the rainfall for days. You get some heavy showers and some long ones. Then sometimes you get some short bursts. See? Then sometimes you just get a little drizzle. But then you're in your rainy season anyhow. And all the rainfall that was designated to fall in that season to bring up the crop would have fallen. And then when you look at the chart of rainfall throughout the year, then you can see how God in His grace evenly distributed among the land and in the agricultural areas that was dependent upon that rain. You can see the grace of God, how the rain came in those places. See? So when the Bible talks about rain here, it's not just talking about when it's outpouring. That's why in Acts 2 they had the Holy Ghost, in Acts 4, Holy Ghost was falling still. It was Holy Ghost that was transporting Philip. Sure, it was Holy Ghost all the time. Holy Ghost that when people are called Dorcas up. You know what I'm saying? So don't get your concepts right. Don't just kind of come to church like, I ain't seen the promise. You get shower after shower after shower. Some shower long, some shower short. Some shower light, some shower heavy. Some shower for many days. Some shower in less local designated areas. Some shower nationwide. Sure! Rain. Sometimes you get your own personal shower. But remember, God in the spiritual is not bound to a group of people. Where people meet God requirement. Cain had no shower, Abel had shower. You know what I'm saying? So when you watch, you know, the churches, where the Corinthian church, they get in their shower that they had, look where it took them. They don't understand what's happening. The Ephesians is getting their showers too. Philippians is getting their showers. Galatians is getting their showers. When after a while, Galatians showers dry up. You're going to go back to the works of the Lord.
Amen.
Sure. And Paul said that you're working on miracles, you might be hearing of faith, or the works of the Lord. See? They said again, time to leave my body to get it finished. The heavens are become brass. And the heaven gets shut up. Because they started listening to man instead of God. And God is promising and has already started to give to us. And we have to believe and receive and expect and pray. Remember that channel you're working with. You're working with a law of faith that you possess in your heart. And God's grace. Let's bow our heads to pray. And we're ready to go. We have a little bit of coming. Let's pray.
Father, we give you thanks and praise, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the season that we're living in tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for understanding to recognize the time and the day we are living in. We can know how to pray, we know how to expect. We know, Lord, we're living in a time, Lord, of wrapping up, Lord Jesus, where your bride is being about taken from his living Father. But Lord, it takes the quickening power of the Holy Spirit as a promise in the Book of Joel, Father. Lord, the former rain and the latter rain falling just together, Lord Jesus. Lord, many of us, Lord, have heard your word during the years. We have heard the teachings, Lord Jesus. We have believed in the truth, Lord. But Lord, there are many of us praying for reality, Lord Jesus. Lord, what we have heard over the years have been flesh in our flesh. For the word and the spirit and life in our life, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For the word to live automatically through us, Lord. That we can say it's not us, but Jesus Christ living through us, Father. Where we can be prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Where we can restore control by your Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord, led by your Holy Ghost every day, every hour, every minute, Lord Jesus. Fulfilling the promises that you call us to be in this hour, Lord Jesus. For we recognize it takes the Spirit to do it, Lord. For it's not by might, Lord. It's not by power, Father. And so many times we work in the energy of the flesh, Lord. Lord, just recognize the kind of work, Lord. But it takes the Spirit of the Holy Spirit upon us, Father.
Hallelujah.
To bring that gene in the inside, Lord. To bring forth a gush of living water, Father.
Hallelujah.
That we can give to the people who come into contact with, Lord. We can say like Peter and John, such as we have, we give, Lord. Lord, rivers of living water, Father. For this is the experience of your brightness, our Lord Jesus. Lord, to take the book, Lord, to receive the tree of life, Lord. And to give it back, Lord Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, Father. Oh, God, Lord, just we thank you for this season, Lord. We are under great expectation, Father. We are under great anticipation, Father. We know it must happen, Lord. It's according to your word. We in the season, Lord. Oh, God, we give it thanks, Father. For pouring yourself upon us, Lord. Help us to make ready, Lord Jesus. Help us to confess our sins, Lord. Help us to make restitution, Lord. Help us to make our wrongs right, Lord. And get ready to receive, Father. Oh, God, we give it thanks tonight, Lord. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name, Father. Oh, God, every day we come to them, we expect it, Lord. Not every minute we expect it, Lord. We don't shall be upon to your word, Father. Upon, oh, God, we give it thanks and praise, Lord. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. Give us right attitude, Lord Jesus. Lord, Father, to recognize, Lord, we have to be, oh, God, the channel, Father. Lord, we have to be the place where we can be. Lord, everything that's ready, making ourselves ready to receive, Lord. For Lord, you won't come down on a dirty vessel, Father. Help us to confess our sins and to go back into places of where we ought, Lord, to make every wrong right tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's a serious business tonight, Lord. Lord, it's a point of the spring, Father. Lord, it's a promise for me to look forward to the years, Lord. To call the sleeping saints, Lord Jesus. It takes the quickening power, Father. To be changed, it takes the quickening power, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. Lord, believe us that we knew the great act of has to make ready to examine ourselves, to examine our lives, to search way deep down on the inside, Lord. The places we have grieved you, Lord. The places we have grieved one another, Father. And Lord, the Spirit of God speaking to us, Lord. Sometimes night after night, Lord, we push him away, Lord. Oh, God, Father, help us, Lord. To recognize what is speaking to us, Lord. To make ready, Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, we give it thanks tonight. We give us each and every one's attitude tonight, Lord. As we wait in great expectation and anticipation, Father. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your promises, Lord, because of your grace. For Lord, we don't deserve nothing, Lord. When we examine it, all we deserve is debt. All we deserve to be cast away. But Lord, because of your grace and because of your love, you have promised to give us these things, Lord. And all you ask is to make ready for it, Father. How we thank you for considering us in this hour, Lord Jesus. Bless your man, servant, Father. Continue to make the word open up to him in a more real way, Father. And Lord, we can come, Lord, and identify and give us more faith, Lord, as our Lord, to receive, for everything is by faith, Father. Bless every heart tonight as we go. Lord, bless us, Lord, with this great attitude in our hearts, with this great expectation and anticipation to make ready for you, Lord. Grant these things, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you get ready to go, try and get up quickly and get to your homes quickly, you know. Over the next few days, it's going to be great to take a look. It's just going to sweep through this land and the evil that we have, the powers of darkness, demon powers from all parts of the world sweeping in here and building up this team for a great time, maximum time. And, you know, just come up there, the road there tonight, and as Nahum said, the chariots in the Broadway jostling with each other, with lights like torches, and I tell you, they're crazy in the road. And you know, just because we have to travel and take two forms of transportation and retreat some of you before you get home, but I'm going to help you and take you safely and get up and just come up Sunday morning and then get into your secret closet. Let's get away from the evil until the wrath we pass. For all that evil, because we've already separated from that stuff. You're not a mixed tree now. Amen. Praise God for you. We just sing a song, ready to leave, with kings of the land, making investments, the bank of this kind. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number? Can you ready to leave? We had some, I had a voice in this night. I can't remember it, but the series left tonight. Amen.
Oh,
Oh.